Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through the God who loves you and has redeemed you through our risen Lord Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, as I said, we are so pleased here at Mount Olivet to welcome our 153 new member friends who are among us here in the body of Christ. Some have come from sister congregations, others from other denominations, and still others have come to faith in Christ for the first time. I come from a long line of New England congregational pastors and missionaries, and in researching my family heritage, I have come to learn that Sunday morning services for my Puritan ancestors could last up to 4 hours, and that the sermon frequently comprised at least an hour and a half or more of that time. I promise you that I am sold on the brevity that is our tradition here at Mount Olivet. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the New Testament book of Acts and the story of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Saul seemed to have a bit of a listening problem until his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, which turned his world upside down. And what's interesting to me is that all along, Saul had wanted to do God's will. He was a trained and committed religious leader, but even though he thought he was doing God's will, he really wasn't. He wasn't listening to hear so much as a word of challenge from God. Have you noticed that even today, some of God's most committed people seem to be pursuing a course you could hardly imagine God endorsing? Judgmental, unforgiving, angry, vindictive, intolerant, or unkind. I believe many of these folks truly do want to honor God, but like Saul, I just think maybe they haven't been listening. And we continue this Sunday with Paul's missionary journey, first stopping at Thessalonica. We are told that he spoke in the synagogue there on three different Sabbath days. Now, our NRSV translation says that Paul argued, but I think the Greek word translates better as dialogued with them or reasoned with them. There was exchange, questions and answers, and of course, listening. He spoke about Jesus and the resurrection. Now, some Jews were persuaded, along with an impressive number of God-seeking Greeks. However, some of the Jews disagreed theologically, and with the help of some, as Pastor Rudd said from the reading, some ruffians in the marketplaces, they formed a mob and exclaimed, "These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also." Now, in one sense, what they said was true, but hasn't the world been upside down since Adam and Eve rebelled against God? And doesn't Jesus have an upside-down way of looking at the world? To lose one's life is to save it. To be first is to be last. To be great is to be least and servant of all. What a different way of looking at the world. I believe there is a spiritual hunger and longing in our culture and in the world today. There are signs of it everywhere. People seeking to find a higher meaning, a higher power, inner peace, or true self. Bookstores are filled with self-help books on spirituality. It's common to hear people say, "I'm spiritual, but not religious." But many people are more inclined to believe in a generic God, a spiritual energy, spiritual life principle or life force, rather than the personal God of the Bible. Many people are drawn to Jesus as a teacher, but struggle with how Jesus fits into the idea of God. But there is a hunger, a longing for God within all of us. Statesman and theologian Abraham Kuyper says, "Every human being is in a sense like the tabernacle of the Old Testament. The tabernacle in the Old Testament had an outer court, it had a holy place, and it had a holy of holies. He says that the outer court is our public self. That's where we greet the checker in line at the supermarket or say hello to people as we pass them on the street. Then there's a set of relationships that are much more intimate: marriage, friendship, and parent-child relationships. They are the holy place. But he said there's also an inner sanctum, a holy of holies, where not even our most intimate friends and lovers can enter in. And in that holy of holies, Abraham Kuyper says, we're alone with our God. The great philosopher Pascal once said, there's a vacuum in every human soul that can only be occupied and satisfied by a relationship with the living God. The Apostle Paul seemed to meet people where they were. He affirmed them in their religious longing. And rather than denouncing their beliefs or their idols, he praised their spiritual hunger. He engaged them and proclaimed to them, as he has throughout the book of Acts, the good news of Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. Paul proclaims elsewhere in the New Testament that Jesus puts a human face on God. Jesus reveals who God is and what God is like. It is in our risen Lord that we live and move and have our being. Well, the disciples believed Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, but the idea of his suffering or dying was the very opposite of their expectation. Messiah was to triumph in the fight against Israel's enemies, not die. Messiah was to be the great liberator, the hero warrior king who would free the people from tyranny and restore Israel to power and glory in the world. The disciples just couldn't imagine that Jesus would die. If he really meant all this literally, Jesus was turning their world upside down, and there was no future for Jesus or for them. In the world, Jesus says, life is often about lording it over others, power, control, status, straining to be number one. In the kingdom of God, Jesus says, those old human worldly values are turned upside down. There's a new way of looking at the world. It's a different way of living, but it's not impossible to live this way. And we don't have to do it alone, nor can we do it alone. The one who calls us to follow him is with us. When we stumble and fall along the way, when we just don't know how to do it, when it gets too difficult and we fail to be who God calls us to be, Jesus is there with us. Wherever you are on the journey this morning, the good news is that Jesus meets you there. Wherever you are in your faith and your doubt, your fear and confusion, he meets you there. Whatever is happening in your life right now, whatever pain, joy, challenges you face, he meets you there. He understands. He calls us to keep on walking and gives us grace to follow. And when we allow for the richness and the wholeness of the entire human community and give ourselves to one another in community, then it becomes clear that our identities are incomplete without one another. And this journey of loving and serving doesn't look so odd and difficult after all. Let us pray. Lord, we are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. Help us to trust you. Help us to journey beyond the familiar into the unknown. Help us to know that our time is in your hands. Teach us to live with eternity in view. Amen.